My name is Sally Steenland, and I'm director of the Faith and Progressive Policy Initiative here at the Center for American Progress. With me today is Vernita Gutierrez, who's the director of community engagement for Planned Parenthood of the Pacific Southwest San Diego County. Vernita has worked in a variety of positions for Planned Parenthood since 1989. She leads the organization's faith-based outreach, does trainings, clergy organizing, community education and engagement, advocacy campaigns, and more. Vernita is the treasurer of the Faith-Based Action Coalition, co-chair of the San Diego Refugee Forum Health Task Force, and an advisory board member for the Hadassah Project. Hi, Vernita. Welcome. I'm so glad you're with us.
Hi, Sally. Thanks for having me.
So I want to ask you about your work at Planned Parenthood. Much of the work you do is at the community level, directly at the community level, and especially with faith communities. And one of the things you focus on are healthcare issues, and that includes reproductive justice. In the years you've done this work, what's the most important thing that you've learned?
Well, that reproductive justice is a human rights issue, that you can't do some of it without doing all of it. In other words, we have to take a holistic approach to sexual and reproductive health and address the intersections of classism, sexism, racism, and all the other isms in order to foster self-determination for individuals, families, and communities.
Let me ask you if anything surprised you when you started this work, if you had any things that you expected that didn't show up or things that did. Was there something in particular that surprised you in doing this work?
The level of support from the faith community has been a bit surprising, although I think the support has always existed. But thanks to the work of the Center for American Progress and other organizations that work to elevate the voices of progressive clergy, I think there is an increased comfort level that allows faith leaders to speak openly in support of reproductive justice.
I just want to follow up on that and ask you about that, because that's a really important thing that you just said. And especially in the public debate, we so often see religion on one side and then reproductive rights and justice on the other side. And it sounds like what you're saying is that the reality that you're encountering on the ground is kind of different. So can you talk about that a little bit, about what you see in terms of faith communities, what kind of support you see, either as service providers, working within their congregations and communities with women, and then as advocates as well. And also, I'd really be interested to know if you've seen things change over the years, if you've seen a direction one way or the other.
Well, most people of faith, like the majority of Americans overall, support access to contraception, sexuality education, and reproductive health care, including abortion. I come from a home where faith was very important, and I still retain many of the values instilled in me through my faith tradition. I believe we have to allow personal decision-making for important life decisions, like when and whether to have a child. And each woman's circumstances are different. And if someone is struggling just to get by, get a better job, or take care of the children she already has, we need to ask ourselves what we can do to support her to raise a child if she makes that decision, or to end a pregnancy if she decides that she needs to. Faith communities can support women and families as they face difficult decisions and offer compassion and tend to their spiritual and moral needs while allowing each individual to follow his or her conscience. Many progressive faith leaders share a commitment to reducing health inequities and a dedication to elevating women's health. And their voices are a powerful force that's crucial to this conversation. And their willingness to speak out for women and families is a moral foil to those who would limit women's access to important health care services.
Thank you so much for saying that. That's really important to hear. I want to ask about some of the work that you've been doing in African-American faith communities over the years within San Diego County. What are some of the urgent health issues in these communities?
Well, nationally, African-Americans are disproportionately affected by a number of reproductive health issues. Those inequities are reflected in San Diego as well. For example, in San Diego County, African-American women have the highest rates of infant mortality, about three times as much compared to all other ethnic groups. And African-Americans are only 5% of the population, but account for 13% of new HIV infections in San Diego County in 2012. Also, African-American women are more likely to be uninsured or underinsured than white women, and often forced to delay care because they lack the resources to pay for it. And as an African American woman, these facts are deeply concerning.
So what are some of the things you're doing within the community, both in terms of service and advocacy? You're right. These are justice issues and these are health issues. So what are some of the things that you're doing with Planned Parenthood on these issues?
Well, we are trying to work with more with the faith community, which is a very big piece of the African-American culture,
mm-hmm.
particularly in San Diego and other communities as well. So we're trying to really, like I said, take a holistic approach to reproductive health and work with schools. We're providing education in several classrooms. We are working with other organizations to help promote comprehensive, medically accurate sexuality mm-hmm. education. We're working with our local legislators to ensure that women have access to services. Those are some of the things that we're doing here locally.
That's really important work. And one of the things you just said is that there are very high rates of HIV in San Diego County where you work, teen pregnancy, sexually transmitted diseases. So if you just listed that for someone, they'd say, wow, those are health issues. But as you were talking earlier, talking about more comprehensive health issues, you're talking about human rights and you're talking about these as justice issues as well. So connect the two for us. Connect the health with the justice part of it.
Okay. Well, just to give you a little bit of background on the rates, the sexually transmitted disease rates in San Diego County, the Centers for Disease Control recently released their STD surveillance report for 2012. And it indicated that the percentage increase in the rates of sexually transmitted diseases reported in San Diego County was higher than that reported at the national level. But to your question, individuals have multiple identities that intersect: their race, gender, sexual orientation, physical and mental ability, immigration status, age, just to name a few. And all of these intersections are inherently connected to the struggle for social justice and human rights. And so all of them have to be considered in order to effectively address individuals' reproductive and sexual health and their rights, including changing society power structures and inequalities that affect their autonomy and their ability to live full and healthy lives.
One of the things you had said earlier regarding that, where you're talking about working within the African-American faith communities, was women who were more likely to be uninsured, women who were less likely to be able to afford to go to the doctor in terms of getting the health care they needed at an earlier rather than later. So I want to connect that and ask about the Affordable Care Act, which is now the law of the land. I know that a lot of faith communities have been working on enrollment, have been working on Medicaid expansion. We know that California has expanded health care in terms of Medicaid. Have you seen that impact on the ground in terms of more people being able to get health insurance at an affordable rate, more people having access? Have you actually seen a real difference?
Well, for almost 100 years, Planned Parenthood has been providing women's health care, and that's not changing. So whether someone has health insurance or not, they can still come to us for the care they need when they need it. The Affordable Care Act has been a blessing to millions of people who would not have otherwise qualified for health care coverage. And I live in a state that, for the most part, understands the importance of the Affordable Care Act and opted to create a health insurance exchange and to expand Medicaid, or Medi-Cal as it's referred to in California, mm-hmm. for its residents. So there's a sense among healthcare providers that the Medicaid expansion will place a strain on resources and access. And there's still people who, for whatever reason, will fall through the cracks or who do not qualify for coverage under ACA because of their immigration status, which makes the role of safety net providers like Planned Parenthood even more important. 99% of sexually active women have used birth control at some point in their lives. And so contraceptives are a tremendously important part of the coverage under the ACA.
I want to go back to something you said at the beginning when you were answering this question. When I was asking about health insurance, you said Planned Parenthood always provides health care for women, whether they have insurance or not. And that's a really important thing to say, because I'm not sure a lot of people know that. I think Planned Parenthood. And again, in the public debate among some conservatives and right-wing opponents, it's really been stigmatized. So can you just like say that again and explain the basic health care that millions of women get in this country because of Planned Parenthood?
Sure. Well, as I said, that Planned Parenthood has been providing health care for women and families for almost 100 years. And regardless of one's ability to pay or whether or not they have health insurance coverage, Planned Parenthood is here for them. And so they can come to us for the care they need when they need it. We provide vital cancer screenings and other preventive services to women and families. And that's not changing.
You are a basic healthcare provider.
We are
basically what you are. Yeah, that's wonderful work. My last question for you, Vernita, has to do with the Faith and Reproductive Justice Leadership Institute here at CAP, and you are an active member of that leadership institute, and we're so honored and proud you are with us. And in the name, Faith and Reproductive Justice go together as part of the name, and as we were saying earlier, often they're not even in the same sentence when people talk about these issues, and they're often seen as opposed. But clearly in your life, in your work, and in your mind, they're not. So how do faith and reproductive justice connect for you?
Well, reproductive justice is about creating healthy and safe families and communities. Faith leaders have always supported families and communities facing challenges, and the faith community is deeply rooted in social justice. So reproductive justice and faith are connected in the acknowledgement and understanding that our faith can inform our sexuality, and that by addressing the spiritual needs and the daily realities facing our communities, we can make a positive impact on the health and lives of women and families.
And that is what you do every single day. You make a positive impact on the health of women and their families. So thank you so much, Vernita, for talking with us today, and thanks for the work that you do.
Thank you.